It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Stavin's Den.
We are back. You are listening to Davin's Den. This is Davin, joined by Joe and Pip. Thank you for hanging out with us. It was a combative first portion of the show, but we remembered Eddie Van Halen, and there was a vicious argument of who was the best guitarist, whether it was Jimmy Page or Eddie Van Halen. No, we didn't argue about that. We argued politics, because that's what we fucking do. And Joe's head was cold, so now he has a hat, so that's different.
That's right.
So now, let's have some fun with the Amish, because the Amish know how to party. The Amish are family-friendly. Oh, three.
Oh, God.
What, Pip? What? What's the matter?
Oh, it's just such a terrible story, but please, go ahead.
Okay. I will do that, because it's on the list of things to do. What the fuck? Dumbass. Two Amish brothers in Missouri admitted to having sex with their 12-year-old sister and getting her pregnant, but managed to avoid jail time because a prosecutor feared they'd be eaten alive in prison, according to a report. The abuse came to light after a doctor alerted authorities that the girl was pregnant just after she turned 13, and she said that four of her brothers, two of them also minors, have been having sex with her, according to the Webster County Citizen. The eldest two, Aaron Schwartz, 22, and 18-year-old brother Petey, admitted to police that they had sex with her at least a half dozen times, each at home in Seymour, starting when she was only 12, officials told the paper. The sister ended up giving birth just 2 weeks ago, and one of the brothers is the father of the child, Webster County Prosecutor Ben Berkstresser told the paper. The brothers were initially charged with 6 counts of statutory rape and 1 count of incest, but those charges were reduced to third-degree child molestation, a Class C felony, the paper said. They then reached a plea deal last week for 15 years in prison, but suspended to keep them out of jail, the paper said. The prosecutor insisted it was a different relationship. It certainly was. Than if a parent in a position of authority sexually abused or exploited their child. Sure, brothers can't send you to your room when they're done fucking you. And said the convicts were very immature. What's the matter, Pip? What's the matter? Close that mouth before I get an Amish brother. Close your mouth. No, they wouldn't want you. They wouldn't want you. You're not kin. Anyway, these two young men would have been eaten alive in the state prison system, Berkstresser told the paper in defending his decision. He also told the paper that the Amish community had punished all four of the boys and made it clear that this punishment was very severe. It's rumored that they were given a stern talking to and a finger wagging.
All right, boys, sit down. You can't fuck your sister.
That's like the thing used to do. Now, Jim, you can't fuck the students.
you can churn the butter, but you can't churn your sister.
There we go. You can't fuck the students. You can't fuck your sister. Now let's have a barn raising.
Ay, Jebediah. He also told the paper that all of them had sexual relations with their sister. Of course they did, the prosecutor said of the four brothers. There was no question this occurred, he said. It was not immediately clear if any action was taken against the two brothers who are minors, and it was not clear how old they are. Old enough to fuck.
Yeah, really. That poor little girl, she's going to need a tampon the size of a mattress. Well,
wow.
She's going to need therapy to the end of her days.
Yes. The convicted brothers must complete the Missouri Sex Offender Treatment Program, as well as 100 hours of community service, and write a letter as part of their punishment, the report said. A letter.
You're going to write a fucking letter.
On
the blackboard.
You know what, boys?
I have to write on the blackboard 100 times, I can't fuck my sister.
Boys, let's make it easy. Why don't you just send a Snapchat and we'll call it a day? How about that, fellas?
Yeah, really.
Write a letter.
Both young men must write a letter to me explaining how they are going to protect their children from this happening to them by moving out? Berkstresser said they have 30 days to get this letter to me. The prosecutor accepted.
By not being allowed to have children? That's the only way.
So that's what that sound of a buzzsaw was.
Yeah, Pip was scratching her hind.
Yeah,
I got itchy.
Scratch your back. What did you grab a garden rake? Holy shit! What?
I got itchy.
The prosecutor accepted that.
It looked like a sawmill. All the dead skin.
The prosecutor accepted that his decision would likely receive harsh backlash. Previously, I've been very harsh on the Amish, but this time he said, "Ah, fuck it." When they've been charged with crimes of this nature, he insisted to the paper. If they've been charged with crimes of this nature, there seems to be a problem in that community, you dumb motherfucker, you. Now is not the time to go. All right, never mind.
No, you know, I don't necessarily say that this is some kind of indictment of the whole community. This is just an indictment of that fucking, and I mean literally, fucking family.
No, yeah. No, here's the quote from the prosecutor. Previously, so this means it's happened before, I've been very harsh on the Amish, meaning the community, when they've been charged with crimes of this nature. Nay, nay, this is a problem.
Oh, God.
Apparently what he's doing ain't working.
Apparently it's not only the barns that are getting raised. Anyway, he said the...
Jesus.
Now they believe in him, supposedly. He said the brothers will go to prison if they do not complete a sex offender treatment program within a year. This won't be easy for either of them to do. It's prison, stupid. But I'll assure you, they will face the consequences if this program isn't completed. And that consequence will be prison. The sister recently gave birth at just 13. The two oldest brothers have subsequently been accused of breaking orders to stay away from her, court records show. Missouri prosecutors filed a motion Friday seeking to revoke probation for Aaron Schwartz, 22, and his 18-year-old brother, Petey, just after days the news broke of the controversial plea deal, giving them a suspended sentence to save them from being eaten alive. So, Joe, I will stop the story here. If they go to prison, will this be a Trump pardon, or will he let this one will he ignore this one?
Always back to Trump. No, they'll be screwed.
I heard they're fine fellas. You know, that little 12-year-old was a vixen. I understand. Perfectly good guy. I always liked Petey. Aaron, not so much.
Well, the question I want to bring up is obviously the sentence is light. But do you feel that the community did handle it, you know, with their laws and their ways, and he's just accentuating what happened?
Well, let me ask you a question. Where is this Amish community? Do you remember?
I don't remember where they...
Missouri. Where's Missouri? Where's Missouri?
Missouri.
No, where's Missouri? What country is it in?
Oh, United States?
Yeah, I don't fucking give a shit about their customs. You're the one who's telling me to adapt. You know what you can't do in America, no matter where you come from, even if you're born here? You can't fuck your sister. You can't fuck your sister.
I didn't say it was right. I didn't say that they should go to jail, but what I'm saying is, just to comment on the story, I wonder if he was lenient on them because of the way the Amish community dealt with that.
Well, Joe, that's what he's saying, but he also said this has happened before, previous charges. So maybe the Amish community isn't so much with dealing out the right punishment for these type of situations. Maybe 30 lashings or whatever they fucking do or plow the field. Maybe it's not maybe making them watch Hannity isn't punishment enough. I don't know what to tell you, Joe, but whatever they're doing isn't working.
They should be punished. And you know what? The whole thing is, well, they're afraid of what's going to happen when they go to jail. Where is the rights of the girl?
Oh, well, I want to hold on. Let me finish the story, then we'll
thank
get to
you.
So the pair also reportedly filed virtually identical handwritten letters with the court, another part of the lenient sentencing that sparked outrage. These motherfuckers couldn't even write their own letters. I confess to having had sexual intercourse with a female relative under 14 years of age, because if she was 14, she's a goer. Both letters say, according to the news leader, I do regret and I'm sorry for having done any such sins and getting caught. Two other brothers, both minors, are also accused of having sex with the girl. It was earlier this month, so she had the kid. All right, so. As well as 5 years probation after the apology, the brothers were ordered to complete the. Okay. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Where are the girl's rights? This is ridiculous.
And I think because maybe in the Amish community is that women are supposed to be subservient to men. And
don't try to win me over.
So in that respect, if the girl gets raped, you know, she's a woman. you know, these are men. And like I said, that's my, you know, thoughts on that, which is not, you know, like I said, it's not right. But I think, you know, where is the little girl on this? You ruined the life, this poor girl, and you're making these guys write a fucking letter. You know,
like, thank you.
Know, like, we should find out if it was in cursive. Because that's more difficult now, because they're not teaching cursive. If it was a cursive letter, it seems like much more of a punishment.
Well, let me tell you something. If it was cursive, just send my ass to jail. I never got my pen. You remember when in elementary school, when you, like, you could figure out, write cursive neatly, you get a pen. You can write with pen. I've been writing with pencil for fucking 5 years.
You dumb motherfucker.
The only time I write cursive is if I write fuck.
That you know.
That's cursive. I get it. Oh, jeez. Lisa asked in the chat room, what did the Amish do? You know, what was their punishment? But the article didn't spell it out, what happened to them in their own community. I agree. You know, Joe is said it perfectly. You know, what about the rights of the girl? I'm so sick of hearing articles about, not just that, you know, in the Amish community, but about, you know, rape victims, and they're worried about what's going to happen to, oh, he's an athlete. They'll take away his scholarship. Screw that. I mean, what does that have to do with anything? That worry more about what the perpetrators, what's going to happen to them when they get punished, than what happened to the victim, is bizarro world.
But you know what, in the case of that, where, you know, oh, what happens to his scholarship, they'll go, yeah, fuck him, he goes to jail and he gets convicted, because it's in regular society. I think in the Amish society, I think women are, you know, are subservient to men, and if they got raped, well, you know, that's just a byproduct. What are you going to do? You destroyed a life, you created this situation, and I don't understand why the prosecutor's just going, yeah, well, they're going to write a letter, you know, and it happens. You have a
that's crazy
thing going on in this community, and do the, and I'm not, I don't know if the Amish, it's a religious belief where if they kind of invaded into that, it could be freedom of religion, or that claim, whether, you know, I don't know.
The Amish are not a rape cult.
No, they make horseshoe pie, not fuck thy sister. I've been to Amish country. They don't have the, here's where we fuck our sister part of the building. They don't have that.
Yeah, no.
Come to Lancaster. Come for the horsefly pie. Stay for our 12-year-old sister. No, they don't have that. That's not, what, no?
No, we have quilting and incest.
Quilting and incest. Oh, I don't know about the quilting, but the incest sounds fun.
Ooh, yeah, wait, but what time on the program is that part of the tour?
I mean, like if they finally had electricity and these kids had a PlayStation, isn't it possible they wouldn't have used their sister as a Game Boy? Isn't that fucking possible?
That's a better argument than the regular lawyer made.
Well, Joe, I feel like my talents are being wasted here. I don't know.
It's terrible.
Like I understand why you don't want to, you know, you got these guys and you know they're just going to be, it's going to be nothing but ass love for 15 years. I understand that. I get
too
that.
Too bad.
Right.
Like you know, then put him in solitary. I mean, you know, you got to do something. It's got to be more than a letter in community service for raping your 12-year-old sister repeatedly. And where the hell are the parents? How are the parents getting off scot-free?
Really? I mean, because, you know, where are these people? What barn in on a remote section of the farm are they on where four of them have time to, like, you know, be gang raping their friggin' sister? It's ridiculous. And what happened to the younger ones? I'm sorry, you don't get away with this. They don't even have to write a letter? What the fuck?
No letter? How about an Instagram? Take a picture with her.
Write a letter. Please.
Hashtag horny. Huddle a huddle a ho.
Yeah, that's just a travesty. It really is a travesty. But it shows, I feel, that the way the norms are in the Amish community towards women, that they just feel, well, yeah, that's horrible what happened, but, you know, she's a woman. What are you going to do? You know?
Well, I don't know about the norms in the Amish community, but it seems like this prosecutor's cool with it.
Yeah, I don't know what the Amish. I don't want to cast aspersions on the whole Amish community and saying, oh yeah, this regularly happens. I mean, clearly it's happened before from what you said, but I don't think that this is like, you know, let's make jelly, let's make our sister, you know. I don't think it's a regular part of the program. You know, I don't think that that's part of the commandment. Like, you know, you're supposed to, you know, honor your wife or not, or you're, you know, I don't think that they're that misogynist.
You know what, now that
they condone incest.
Now that I think about it, the Amish are known for their woodwork, so this might be more of
that. They make a nice barn.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they make a nice shed.
Yeah, but these boys were just working their wood. That's all that was happening, you know.
And they also make children with three heads because it's all incest.
Yeah, you know. What's a little whittling and diddling amongst family?
It's just all repulsive. And the fact that anybody's like, well, let's you know, leave off and not punish them so harshly because, you know, oh, they're innocents. They'll get ripped up. It's jail.
Well,
that's why there's jail.
Well, yeah, but I don't think jail has to mean ass rape.
No, I don't think so either, and it shouldn't be. How that's happening in jail, I don't understand. But they're going to.
Even if there was like something to lean over and a line of guys a mile long, you raped your sister and got her pregnant, and you know what? You're going to get ass fucked for it. Told that, you know, but the time for the rest of your life because you're going to jail. Well, that's not. It's not fair. You raped your sister repeatedly and got her pregnant. You're going to jail for life. Who gives a shit what happens to you in there? And that's what I'm saying, where in that culture, I think they don't value women that well because it's like, yeah, well, we don't want to get a rape, you know, and not even taking the girl's thoughts into consideration at all.
All right.
Well, that was an American judge, and they're English. It wasn't one of the people in their community that was saying, oh, let's lay light on them. So this is an indictment of the, you know, the regular judge.
The court, yeah, the prosecutor.
Based on community standards or decency in that area, and that's just a wild guess because I'm just you're just trying to figure out the logic.
Well, Joe, maybe it's that. This might give you some comfort, but you can say whatever you want about the Amish because I'm fairly sure they're not going to hear this broadcast.
That's true. Fuck the Amish, then.
All right, so we all agree this was outrageous and egregious.
Yeah.
All right, let's do. So we have, as luck would have it, Trump flags are causing a little bit of a problem in some virtual learning classrooms. I'll play this one story, then we'll go over a couple more, and then we'll discuss.
A controversy in the virtual classroom. Tonight, a Colusa County high school student says his teacher threatened to kick him out of class, all for the President Trump flag that was hanging in his bedroom.
It was visible on Zoom for his teacher and the rest of his class to see. CBS 13's Laura Haefeli is live in Colusa County with the Trump flag debate. Quite the story, Laura.
Yeah, that's right, and it's not uncommon to see President Trump's campaign flags or posters in Colusa, but what was a surprise for that teacher was seeing it in the back of her student's Zoom call. The student's parent says it's a moment that wasn't handled well at all. Colusa County is doing distance learning, which means students and teachers interacting over video call.
Since school has begun, my son has had this flag, Trump flag, hanging in his background.
But Tiffany says her son's high school chemistry teacher didn't approve of the political statement, asking him in the middle of class to get rid of it.
You can sit up, remove the flag, or reposition your camera within the next 15 seconds, or I'm kicking you out of class.
The teacher began to count. She didn't make it to 10 before Tiffany's son waved goodbye and exited the virtual classroom. She doesn't blame the teacher for the uncomfortable moment that's made its way to social media.
She is a new teacher, and it's a mistake. There hasn't really been any guidance given to her as a teacher from the school.
Tiffany and her son blame the school board, who they addressed Monday evening. They asked that the board clarify the code of conduct for virtual learning.
And he just flat out told me no. We've just not been given any guidance.
The Colusa County Code of Conduct includes a dress code that bans clothes with alcohol or drug symbols, sexual messages, profanity, or clothing that degrades any race. But nowhere in the 38-page document does it mention politics, elections, or campaigning.
We don't even know if we're supposed to be following the on-campus handbook or if there's a new campus or a new handbook that's addressing the distance learning issues.
The student tells us that he's now uncomfortable going back to that teacher's classroom after what happened, and we did reach out to the superintendent as well as the principal and vice principal for Colusa High School. We are waiting to hear back from them.
Yeah, quite the talk of the town there.
All right, just a couple more stories. In a student in South Ridge High School, Kennewick, Washington, alleged he or she was dismissed from class when the teacher saw a flag on the wall that read, Trump 2020, no more bullshit, according to KEPR-TV, which interviewed the child's parents, who chose to remain anonymous. The parents say the teacher of the English course, Sports and Literature, first raised objections in a personal chat message with the student, but he or she did not see it. Then the student was removed from the class. It's an unfortunate situation. If they were in school, this would not have happened, the parents said. A representative of the Kennewick School District tells Yahoo Life, we are aware of the allegations of the school administrators and the process of doing their due diligence by conducting an investigation with staff and students to get all the facts. The alleged incident follows one in Texas, Edwin Prue, whose daughter attends 8th grade at the United Independent School District in Laredo, told KGNS-TV that her principal objected to a Trump 2020 flag hung alongside an American flag on her wall. All of a sudden, we get a phone call saying, hey, your flag has to come down. You know, claim saying that our flags were offensive, he said. So I asked her, in what shape or form are they offensive? Well, in flag shape, stupid. And she said... And she said, well, we had a parent complaint about the fact that your background, that you have an American flag, and we don't know why parents are watching the class like creeps, but nevertheless, and you have the Donald Trump flag. What the hell's with these parents? Prue refused to... What the hell's wrong with them? Prue refused to remove the flag, claiming its message was neutral. I did contact the Republican Party, and I've contacted the state attorney general's office, and we will take this further, because there is simply an infringement to our rights. A spokesperson from the UISD tells Yahoo Life of the September 10th incident, it is the practice of UISD not to discriminate based on viewpoint and to apply content-neutral rules and regulations that neither endorse nor oppose a particular viewpoint, lest there be a material or substantial disruption to the learning environment. The district does not ask families to take down political signs in their own homes, add the spokesperson. We simply request that all students' backgrounds, while in the virtual environment, be clear of any displays that could cause a substantial disruption in learning environment. Okay, now this was my blog for this week. So there's a lot to unpack here. First of all, and this is going to be out of character for me, but I feel the need to attack today's youth. What the fuck are they putting on their walls? In my day, it was models, athletes, and your favorite fucking band. When I was in high school and the middle school, I didn't want Ronald Reagan or Bill Clinton or George Bush. What the fuck is wrong with these kids today? Really? Really?
When I was in high school, the only thing that was on my wall were album covers and pictures of four wheel drive trucks.
Yeah.
You know
that should be on a teenage boy's wall. I mean, sure, they're still on your bedroom wall now, but that's not the point of this. What the hell is wrong with these kids? What is wrong with them? All right, that aside. it just blows my mind. I think really what that speaks to in the case of Trump is, as I said in the first segment, he's all encompassing. You can't escape him. We growing up, you know, you saw your president on the nightly news once in a while. You know, there was Middle East peace talks. You know, we're bombing somebody. There's some hostages somewhere, and that was it. And you didn't really watch the news. But now with Trump, it's 24/7. So I get it.
Well, that's the thing, because you would say. You know, there would be times they'd go, you know, I wonder what the president's been up to. I haven't heard from him in a while. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Is he at Camp David again?
Yeah.
All right. So here's the way I look at it, and then we can go into this a little bit more. I understand why the schools did not have guidelines initially, because they were worried about technology and safety, which, you know, that's the most important thing for getting these virtual classrooms up. You got to get that. That being said, the ones that are up and running, we've been up for a little while now, write some fucking guidelines. That way when there's an incident, we have something to look at, and we're not making this up as we go along. It's really not fair to anybody. It's not fair to the students. It's not fair to the teachers. It's not fair to the parents. You got to write some guidelines. Stop fucking talking to the media and write some guidelines. That being said, so now I got to think about this here. You know, what do we want to police? Here's what I would do. I would not make them take down a Trump or Biden banner, because you could teach them, go, you know, you don't have to agree with everything, you know, but, you know, we can still get along in a classroom. I wouldn't make them take that down. I would make them take down the Trump enough of the bullshit one. Can't have expletives on the wall during class. So you can have your Trump 2020, Make America Great Again, or whatever the fuck we're doing, or you know, Biden, Kamala. You can put that shit on the wall. I mean, I don't think people should be getting triggered over just that. But then, if we're going to police that, then are we going to police Black Lives Matters and Blue Lives Matters and Antifa? And maybe I really like animals, and this kid's a hunter, and he's got a deer on the wall. And wow, you have a model on the wall, and that objectifies women. I mean, you really go down a slippery slope here. I would just say nothing sexually graphic. I would say no curses. That's what that's where I would leave it. I think that's all you can do. This is not a school. This is this kid's room. You know what? Ignore the Trump 2020 banner and let's fucking do math. I mean, really.
Go. I don't think that people should be triggered by, you know, the fact that there were, you know, it just simply says the name. The bullshit, I mean, you shouldn't have cursing on the wall behind you. But I really do think that, like, there should be a mandatory thing, like either a green screen or, my preferred, purple screen. Just keep it blank.
Yeah, but not everybody can get that. Not everybody can hang. You're dealing with a lot of poor children and everything. You know, whatever. It's not a big
deal. Hang a sheet back there, something. Just leave it plain.
All right, Joe, what were you going to say?
I agree with pretty much everything that you said. And the argument could be made as well. And I don't know how I feel about it. We'll take where you could say, well, in a school environment, it should be neutral. And there really shouldn't be anything distracting in the school environment during the school hours, even though it's from your own home. And then you could say, but it's from my home. I have the right to display it with indecency anything I want to. So it's, you know, a good argument. Me personally.
And what's distracting? Distracting for someone somebody else would ignore. I mean.
So in that argument, and with that argument, you know, well, I don't like to see that Trump sign. So hang a Biden sign up. You know, like I said, I wanted to pose an opposite opinion on that. I really don't agree with that opposite opinion, but just for the discussion, I wanted to throw something else into the mix on that. You know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I thought there was another opinion coming.
No.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I had plenty in the last second.
I mean, listen. I mean, you know what?
Joe wore himself out.
We're all one.
I haven't stopped since six.
I think you just got to use common sense, and really, the schools have to write some guidelines. I mean, we can't get triggered by the word Trump. We can't get triggered by that word. I mean, it's different when it's in school and you're being bullied with it. If you're a minority kid and they're chanting it, it's different. It's hanging on his wall. Who the fuck cares?
Right. And my whole thing, which goes along with the statues and renaming this and renaming it, where does it end? Where will it end? You know, you have to really be at a point and go, look, it's not going to hurt anybody. It's fine. As long as it's not profanity, as long as it's not indecent, just hang it on the wall. You're not distracting. Let me throw something into the mix. Let's say out of the aspect of the school, let's say that you're a perfect example right now. I mean, we're all zooming in from our houses. We're doing the show. What if this was a Zoom meeting for a company and you had something on the wall? Do you think that the company feeling a certain way about something in the background would be a problem?
I mean, listen.
I think they have the right to say you got to have a clear background, or you know, you can't be you know, because politics is so divisive right now, it doesn't belong in a work environment at all.
I mean, yeah. you're also talking about a job where they pay you and school where the kids have to go. So it's like,
right.
Oh, I'm gonna hang my Trump flag. All right, well, you're not gonna work here. I mean, the kids have to go to school.
I want to bring it up so much so that my day program every day I wear a shirt and it has the name of the day program on there. When I come home, I make sure I take that shirt off. And I've brought this up before because any comment that I have is not representative of the company I work for, and the company emblem should not be on my person anytime I give my own personal opinion. So I make sure that shirt is off. I have the calendar on the wall. I make sure that calendar is out of the camera shot because anything I am not representing my company right now, and anything with my company or company logo should not be displayed. So yeah, in that respect, yeah, when it comes down to business, yeah. But in the thing with the students, you know, if it's not indecent and it's not, you know, what's the big deal?
Apparently in my kids' virtual classroom, there's some people who have Trump hanging, and my daughter's just like, thank God there's a mute button. But, you know, nobody's complaining to the teacher. Nobody's making him take it down. You find it distasteful, move the fuck on. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, we got to get past this stuff. He'll be out of office soon. You know, they'll drag him out kicking and screaming. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
All right, let's move along. Turbulent air.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh, straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
Thousands of people in Brunei, Taiwan, Japan, and Australia, who have started booking flights that start and end in the same place. We used to call them delays. Some airlines call...
They used to call them, you're not getting to the gig.
No, exactly.
Call the venue in Ohio and tell them, hey, you better get some local guy.
Yep.
I once called that trapped on Iceland.
Some airlines call these scenic flights. Others are more direct, calling them flights to nowhere. I didn't realize how much I missed traveling, missed flying, until the moment the captain's voice came on the speaker with the welcome and safety announcement, said Harif of his 85-minute experience on Royal Brunei Airlines. On its flight to nowhere, which the airline calls the Dine-and-Fly program, Royal Brunei serves local cuisine to passengers while flying over the country. The practice also satisfies that itch to travel, even if it's just being on a plane again. Although most people may think of flying as a means to an end, guilty, existing solely to get them from one place to the next and to cause aggravation. I added that. Some say that it's an exciting part of the travel experience, like crashing. For those people, flights to nowhere are the salve for a year in which just about all travel has been canceled and people have been fearful of airlines not enforcing social distance and mask wearing rules. Royal Brunei has run 5 of these flights since mid-August, and since Brunei has had very few cases of the coronavirus, the airline is not requiring passengers to wear masks, but staff members are. Earlier in the month, the Taiwanese airline EVA Air filled 309 seats in its Hello Kitty-themed A330 Dreamjet for Father's Day in Taiwan. And Japan's All Nippon Airways, I think I flew on that, had a Hawaiian resort-themed 90-minute flight with 300 people on board. On Thursday, Qantas announced a flight to nowhere over Australia. That flight sold out in 10 minutes. So many of our frequent flyers are used to being on a plane every other week and have been telling us they miss the experience of flying as much as the destination themselves. More middle seats, they says. Now, Alan Joyce, the chief executive of Qantas Airways, said in a statement this week, when that airline announced its 7-hour flight in October, that would depart and land in Sydney. Tickets for the flight ranged in price from $575 to $2,765. It will take travelers from Australia flying over the Northern Territory, Queensland, and New South Wales. The airline also recently brought back its popular sightseeing flights to Antarctica that don't actually land in Antarctica, but allow passengers to walk around and have different views of the continent. That's fucking melting stupid. The tour company Antarctica Flights charters Qantas to operate the flights. Dozens of Australians took to the airline's Instagram to express a desire for more of these kinds of trips to be added. A handful of travel agents in India, Australia, and the United States said that their clients have been asking about flights to nowhere in the past 2 months, as the reality that travel will not return to normal for some time has sunk in. All right, so that's basically what it is. So a lot of these flights are themed, and they're more luxurious. You know, they have extra added perks. They give you gifts. I gotta say, no fucking way. No fucking way. There is nothing about flying that I miss.
This sounds like hell.
I like flying. You know, the whole thing going to the airport's a federal case. But that being said, if I'm not accruing frequent flyer miles, because some people just still go on a flight just to get their frequent flyer miles going. But for this, no, I think it's a ridiculous squandering of money.
So none of us would pay for a flight to nowhere.
There's so many things wrong with this. It's like, what a waste of fuel. What a waste of time. It sounds like the flight to hell. You go through all the trouble of traveling, and you're right back where you started from. It's like what, you know, when the rubber around the door isn't on tightly enough, and they go, we got to go back to the airport. Oh, fuck. This sounds like the biggest waste of time, but I also got to ask, what the hell is the deal with spending Father's Day on a Hello Kitty plane? Anybody see anything wrong with this?
Really?
The father's enjoying that?
I've always been partial to the kitty. Little pink kitty with a big round white face. Very, very exciting. No, the Japanese love them some Hello Kitty. They love them some Hello Kitty.
Even the guys?
I don't know. I think it's Hello Pussy. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure they did love that, unless it's a completely different flight than what I'm picturing.
I don't know. Like they upgrade the food and everything, but still, there's nothing about flying. Your ears pop. You're with other people. As Joe said, you got to deal with the airport. Nay. Yuck. No. You know what I miss? I miss sitting in traffic. So I'm just going to park my car in between a couple of other cars and blare on my horn and go nowhere for an hour and a half. That's what I'm going to do. Are you kidding me?
It's ridiculous. And they go, well, they're going to have themed food on the plane and wine. You know what? There's other places that have that. It's called a restaurant. And they don't think, you know. I can't be on a plane and going, wow, I can't wait till I get a destination. I've never been home before. I'm climactic. You know, if we're on a plane, I'm going away on vacation. I'm going to a gig or something like that, you know? And it's like, all right, you know, it's like I'm going somewhere. There's a destination of interest.
My favorite part of the whole flying is? I like when we're getting ready to land and we get to circle endlessly. I love that. More circling, please. Because the airport's right there, but we can't quite land. Can we do more circling and then maybe taxi for a while? That sounds like a lovely way to spend an afternoon. Circling and taxiing. Sign me up for that.
And let me just look down at a continent that I will never set foot on and just, like, look at it out the window. Have they heard of, like, videos? Maybe you could watch that instead of going up on the plane and flying around looking down through the window at something. This is just it's the worst. And you're in a contained cylinder with other people during a pandemic. Does this sound like a good idea?
It sounds like a fundraising event. That's what it sounds like to me.
It's welcome to Super Spreader Airlines.
Super Spreader Airlines. Make sure you lick all the windows you walk by.
But nonetheless,
I mean, if they weren't going to introduce this, and you were looking at it on paper, go, people are not going to go for this shit. The thing is sold out. It's sold out.
Well, in 10 minutes.
A fortune.
I know. People are stupid. Speaking of stupid people, let's go to a town. The town of Swastika.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi, Hitler.
Well, speaking of bumpers, we're almost using every bumper I have.
I know.
A small town in upstate New York voted to keep the name swastika, saying that the town founders named it after the Sanskrit word and not the hate symbol associated with Nazis. The town of Blackbrook Town Board, which has domain over the hamlet, voted unanimously to not change the name. John Douglas, supervisor of the town of Blackbrook, told CNN, "Swastika was named by the town's original settlers in the 1800s and is based off the Sanskrit meaning well-being. We regret that individuals from out of the area that lack the knowledge of the history of our community become offended when they see the name. To the members of our community that the board represents, it's the name of their ancestors chose." Yeah, you could change it, stupid. The vote follows a national reckoning with what the symbol means in modern America. A reckoning? Nay, nay. Hitler stole it, and we go, yeah, we're not going to use that no more. It wasn't really a reckoning. It was kind of like, yeah, let's not do that anymore. Yeah. In April 2019, a neighborhood in a Colorado town outside Denver voted to change its name from Swastika Acres to Old Cherry Hills. The area had once been home to the Denver Land Swastika Company, a company that chose its name before the Nazis adopted the swastika symbol. The Nazis fuck up everything fun.
They're no fun.
The term swastika is derived from the Sanskrit word svastika, which means good fortune, according to the United States Memorial Holocaust Museum. The symbol first appeared about 7,000 years ago, is considered a sacred symbol in Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, and other belief systems. It sometimes adorns the walls of houses or temples. The symbol became popular in Europe in the late 19th century and early 20th century, in part as Europeans learned about ancient civilizations through the work of archaeological excavations and then decided to conquer them. The Nazi Party adopted the hooked cross as its symbol in 1920 during a time when other far-right national movements in Europe were beginning to use it, the museum says. I gotta say, if I had a vote, we can't keep swastika.
I would say that if the vote, well, that's your vote. What they did was, I mean, they voted it. They voted because of what the meaning was originally based on. What the meaning was originally based on. I'm sorry, getting late. What the meaning was based on originally, and what the founder originally based the name on. Now, basically, the town voted for this. Gavin, this goes back to the standard that you gave on a statue, where. We would have the argument, well, I feel that a statue should be there. It's a teaching point or whatever. And you said, well, you find it offensive. But if a community votes on it, it's the community's decision.
I said if I live there, I would vote to change it. Because really, what do you think the property values in the town of Swastika are going to be?
Right, but what I'm saying is,
Joe, would you like to live in Old Cherry Hills or Swastika, New York? Where do you want to live, Joe?
Choose carefully.
Oh, yeah, come to my house. Oh, yeah, Rabbi, come on over. No, I live next town over in Swastika. What? No, you don't. Okay. See you. Nobody wants to live in Swastika.
Just a quick goose step across town.
Sure. No, what? Yeah, we have a camp in Swastika. No, it's a nice camp. You know? No, okay. All right, bye, Rabbi.
But they tried to build a train station, and everybody said, nine!
Can you imagine the Swastika train station? Joe, we're not...
It's right over there.
Yeah, really, you can't even give directions. You put it in the GPS, the GPS goes, fuck you!
If they feel that it's the name is in their belief that the name is connected to the original meaning, and if it is what the community voted for, then the name stays.
Nobody's saying they have to change the name.
It's the community standard, which we've had the discussion in the same thing with statues. If the community votes that it's an offensive or not offensive, the community standard stays. Regardless if it's removing a statue or having this town named Swastika.
And what I'm saying is, the people in this community are stupid. I'm not saying they have to change it. I'm not saying they're going to force it. But I'm not saying I'm going to force them to change the name. But why would you want to? Why would you want to explain?
Do you believe they have the right?
Oh, Oh, yeah. Of course they could keep it.
All right. That's fine. That's fine.
Of course they could keep it. But really, do you want to have to explain it to everybody? Oh, yeah. Can you just put your name and address? Well, Swastika, New York. What's it? All right. Here's the deal. It's not what you think. Originally, it's from the Sanskrit meanings. See, our founders came in the 1800s. And then what happened in the 19th century in Eastern Europe, it became very popular. You know, Hindus, Buddhists, all that sort of thing.
Now, on my end, I didn't say it was a tough sell.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's fucking you want to have to go through all that song and dance when you're just trying to get a driver's license?
Yeah. We both lived in a town, and it's like Rosenblatt Curry. You didn't raise your hand for it. Well, not for nothing.
Yeah, really. Are they all raising their hands like this?
We get it.
In the state of New York. Sorry. In the state of New York, if you want to get a vanity license plate, you have to talk to them and explain to them what the license plate means, because they have to determine if it's something obscene or not. Now, if you can't get a vanity plate that says swastika, why the hell are you keeping your town's name swastika?
You know, I understand not letting you get a swastika, but I called DMV and I wanted just three letters. I wanted a KKK. On my license plate, and it was an issue. I'm like, what? It's for my kids, Karen, Kim, and Katie. What's the problem?
Right.
It's for my kids.
Right.
I explained.
Right.
What, the sheets? Yeah, she's going to college. I got her new white sheets. What's the problem?
You ever hear about white sale?
Yes.
We're half off.
Sure. Tiki torches? We're having a going away party. Like, what is the problem? I just want KKK on my car.
Look, I believe Black Lives Matter. I also believe in a decent thread count.
If you're so locked in to the meaning of this, why not change the name of your damn town to Well-Being? Why does it have to be something that's been co-opted by Nazis? Why are you stuck on this point?
Yeah. Yeah, Well-Being would be better. Or not what you think. That would be good, too.
Or right on the top ticket. Just not what you think.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Like, you know, like they always have on singles, here's the title, and then there's a parenthetical conversation. It's like, no, not what you're thinking.
what is that school's, what's the high school's mascot? The Invaders? What are you going with?
No, it's just the Nazis.
I don't know if they have a German restaurant in town, but if they do, they're going to be very self-conscious.
You know, I'm just seeing the other team playing against the Nazis football team from Swastika. That is going to psych people out.
Go Swastika! Yay!
Yay!
We're gonna take over your school and the school next to you and the school after you. We're playing those kids from England. Let's go for the bomb. Yeah, let's keep swastika. Jesus Christ!
Is Poland, New York, right next door? Because they better watch out.
Poland, New York. All right, they can keep it. They're just a bunch of maroons. All right.
It's stupid.
And it's in our home state. All right, drunks in the news.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
All right, here we go. It's a classic pairing. A glass of wine, red wine, and some wonderfully savory... Oh, first my Ben Franklin... Oh, drinking term. Benjamin Franklin drinking term. He came up with synonyms for getting drunk. And this one is sore-footed. If you are drunk, you are sore-footed. So, next time you're drunk, just think of Joe. You're sore-footed.
Sore-footed?
Sore-footed.
Okay.
Joe's sore-footed. Yeah, he's being himself. And you can take that any way you mean it. All right. High end cheese, a less classic pairing, the cheese coming from Taco Bell. That's a pairing some fast food lovers will soon be able to try, though, as the chain is debuting its own custom wine. The limited edition beverage, hilariously named Jalapeno Noir, I like that, is currently for sale at Taco Bell Canada. Both online and in select stores, the beverage is meant to be paired with the restaurant's new Toasted Cheesy Chalupa, which is supposedly made with six-month-aged cheddar.
Because when you want a fine cheddar, you want it on a chalupa. Never mind with caviar or a fine or a water cracker. No, you want it on a chalupa.
Sure, I'm multicultural. Jalapeno Noir won't be coming to the U.S., even though the Chalupa will arrive stateside in November. Yes, 2020 is finally turning around. Still, that didn't stop Taco Bell fans everywhere from weighing in on the item. Some found the drink produced by Canada's Queenston Mile Winery totally outrageous, calling it trashy and utterly ridiculous. Have I finally lost my mind? Can someone unplug the Matrix and plug it back in? Hey, 2020, enough already. Why, though? Other Twitter users seemed excited to try the wine, which cost $25 Canadian, or around $19 U.S. Customers seemed to agree, considering the beverage sold out in just a few minutes. The Jalapeno Noir announcement came just a few months after Taco Bell made sweeping changes to its menu. The alterations included removing several items such as the Mexican pizza and potato-based dishes. Meanwhile, other restaurant chains have made their own surprising forays into the beverage making world. As if this year couldn't get any weirder, Mountain Dew and Red Lobster announced their collaboration on a Dew-garita cocktail available nationwide at the end of 2020. A Dew-garita.
Trail of flocks around the country have been bustling.
Dear, would you like a jalapeno noir or a Dew-garita? What would you like today? Anything off the dollar menu.
This just reminds me of growing up in my apartment complex, which was, you know, in my town, considered one step above being in the trailer park. And I just thought that my neighbor's kids, who ate peanut butter and Fluffernutter on white Wonder Bread, I thought that that was as trashy as you could get. Like, that's lunch? Joe's having orgasms thinking about a Fluffernutter.
We used to have that when I worked in the woods. We'd come by, I used to make those sandwiches in the woods, Fluffernutter and peanut butter. So good. We worked
in the woods. What were you, a Keebler elf?
Huh? Yes, explain, Joe. Not everybody knows what you used to do.
Worked in the woods. What were you, a Keebler elf or like just some creep down by the river? The fuck are you doing?
Oh, that's right. Sorry. I was a lumberjack.
Because it sounds like the creepiest shit ever, what you were just describing.
Come for the fluff.
I worked in the woods. What kind of fluff are you on Team Burrell? I didn't work in trees. I cut them down. No, but
I could actually see why this is appealing, because you usually eat like Taco Bell like at 2 a.m. when you're drunk anyway. So, you know what? Just keep the party going.
Really?
But who the hell's
I'm
going
so
to
Taco
Who's going to Taco Bell with $19 to spend on wine?
I don't understand. Yeah.
I mean,
and I really do have to worry.
Taco Bell, like I'll spend $15 at Taco Bell, but on the food, you know, I'll get like 4 tacos, the chalupa tray or whatever, you know. But I don't think when I think of Taco Bell, I don't think wine. It's bad enough the food will give you the shits. What is the wine going to do? You're going to get the shits and a hangover.
Well, it's funny, Joe. What is the wine pairing to go with diarrhea?
Well, Joe was talking before. I was asking him while you're playing a clip that I asked him what he was snacking on, and he talked about that, you know, he was going to eat some chili, but he was drinking some coffee, and he thought that was going to be a bad mix. And now I'm picturing wine and Taco Bell is kind of on par with that. Right? This is not going to bode well.
You know what, though? I could see...
Let me tell you something. Like I said, during the break, I opened up the refrigerator. I got some chili and noodles. And I go, I'm hungry. Maybe I'll have a couple of bites with that. I go, stupid, you're making coffee. You're never going to make it through scammers. You might even not make it through some fucking story. What are you doing? Put that away. So that's when I got my little snacky snack.
That's right. That was a smart move.
Yes, it was. Yes, I might be home, but, you know...
So I guess yeah, I don't know, maybe we'll get more of these. Maybe McDonald's will come up with stuff. Burger King, I don't know. It's not a terrible idea. It's not something I want. I'm not getting the Dew-garita, the wine at Taco Bell. But you know what? People drink wine out of a box. We're fucking trash. You know.
The closest I get with alcohol at Taco Bell is if I go to Taco Bell, I'll get like the meal that comes with the soda. And I'll bring the soda home, and I'll just pour Jack Daniels into the soda, into the Coke, and, you know, have a Jack and Coke.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I have to admit,
wine. Yeah.
I have to admit, I am intrigued by the Dewgarita, because I do like Mountain Dew, and I do like margaritas, but I wouldn't go out of my way to get one.
Well, and you are white trash, so.
Yeah, a Dewgarita is like when I was a kid. Yeah, Pip, you might remember, you're from the same generation. You remember Tango, that tequila sunrise drink? That's like getting tanked, because I remember like up when we used to have the fire pit up in the woods, and it would be like, all right, because I was the guy that used to get the alcohol because I had a beard, you know? And it's like, all right, fine, but go in there, get some Jack Daniels, get some Budweiser. We're entertaining tonight with chicks. Get some Tango and some peppermint schnapps. Yeah. Right, exactly. But when you're 17, that's like the elegance.
I remember drinking some shit called Catawba Pink wine. Oh, boy, this is the bottom of the barrel. But I think that a Dewgarita would be better than that.
You know what goes with Taco Bell? Mad Dog 2020, Banana Red. Let's fucking call it a day. Some MD 2020, Banana Red. Now we're talking. Don't give me your fucking jalapeno noir. I'm eating trash food. Give me a trash drink. I'm already prepared to blow up my asshole. That's what this night is going to be like.
Burns, burns, burns that ring of fire.
All right, let's take our final break. We'll get some Dewgaritas and some jalapeno noirs and Burger King Kahlua and whatever else you could fucking think of. On the break, we got new music from Just a Jester with Painted Lady and Rofo Audio with Walls. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. Coming back with Scam and Scam.